So early this year, just after the turn of the year, we had an opportunity where we were able to bring Josie's mom down to watch our kids while we were working. And while she was down, we decided to treat her to some of the more interesting things of the area, which meant going to San Antonio. Just kidding. She'd already been to the aquarium down here, so we thought we'd take her up to SeaWorld because, you know, we've got dolphins, we've got sea turtles, got some pretty neat things here at the aquarium, Texas State Aquarium, but we don't have whales. They do have orcas, killer whales, up in San Antonio. Not the big whales, but still, it's a whole nother level of species that you just don't get to see. And you know, when they lift that thing out of the water and it's the size of a small school bus, it's just something to take in. So there's some facts that you can look up, some facts about whales that are a little bit interesting. I'm going to go through a few of them. An adult whale, of course, this varies by species, but some of the big ones, an adult whale can grow to be 100 feet long and weigh up to 400,000 pounds. 100 feet is, I would say, about the length of this building from head to tail. Not the room, the whole building. 400,000 pounds, if you were going to ship that on a semi to, you know, stay under 80,000 pounds legally to drive on the road without an extra permitting, that would be eight semis. Eight full semi loads worth of whale. One whale. Their heart alone can weigh up to 400 pounds. They have a complex communication systems. Some have even distinct dialects where you can hear. I'm not sure if it's individual whales they can tell who's speaking or communicating, or maybe different species of whales. Some whales communicate via song and can be heard underwater hundreds of miles away. There's some species of whales that migrate 12,000 miles per year between cold feeding and warm breeding grounds, waters. All whales use blowholes on the top of their head to inhale and exhale at the surface, and when they breathe, then they hold their breath and they dive deep below the surface. Some species of whale are able to hold their breath underwater for up to an hour. That's a little bit impressive. So those facts are all interesting. However, the analogy of the last one is too perfect to ignore. So in case you missed when I mentioned it just now, whales, some of the largest and most powerful creatures on Earth, live their entire lives in the ocean, yet they cannot breathe underwater. A whale can dive deep and stay submerged for long periods, but eventually it must come back to the surface for air. If it doesn't, it will suffocate and it will die. No matter how strong, how adapted, how comfortable it is in the ocean, it still depends on something outside of this environment to live. So that analogy that I referenced and what we're going to speak about today, you could title Living in the World, Not of the World. In many ways, you and I are like whales. We live in the world, we work in it, we build our families in it, we engage with it daily, but spiritually, we are not designed to draw life from the world itself, just like a whale in water. A human can be surrounded by success, activity, even really good things, and still be spiritually suffocating if they are not connected to God. As Jesus said in the first scripture today, that would be John 17, and it will be verse 14 through 16 is the stretch I'm going to read. This happened to be the week after Passover, and I was pretty well, as I put this together, pretty well blown away at the overlap that this actually had with the Passover in scriptures. Starting in verse 14, John 17 and verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, as in the disciples are not of, the words are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray and you should take them that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. You and I are in the world, but we are not meant to get our life from it. Our breath of life is staying connected to God. A whale does not just breathe once, it must regularly return to the surface. In the same way, our spiritual life requires continual connection to God through prayer, through study, through worship, through assembly, through selfless love for one another, and through humility and dependence on God. You can read in John 15 for another scripture. John 15 and verse 1, read through verse 5. Definitely a familiar scripture. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, and kind of where this comes together, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Emphasis. For without me you can do nothing. You and I can function for a while without that connection, just like a whale can stay underwater for a time. But eventually you'll begin to weaken spiritually. Something you don't necessarily think about much, but when a whale dies, there's a primary cause, but the secondary cause of a whale's death is typically going to be drowning. Whales don't usually drown by accident. Like I said, it's always a secondary cause, meaning that it's not the water that was the problem. It was what was in the water that the whale got tangled up in. In fact, when a whale gets tangled up in a fishing net or ropes, it is referred to, the official term for such an incident is entanglement. Once entangled, that whale becomes exhausted, their wounds get infected, they eventually cannot return to the surface when they need air and they drown. In our lives, there's a lot of stuff that can entangle us, not the least of which are what we just got through in the Holy Days, putting out sin, busyness, distraction, pride, self-reliance, spiritual leavening, just like we just finished practicing. The Bible warns us of the seriousness of these entanglements, but we live in a world where this stuff is everywhere. We're surrounded by it day in and day out. We're submersed in it from the womb to the tomb. So we grow numb and we let these things take hold of our lives until they slowly cut off our connection with our God. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us or entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here's an invitation. Come up for air. Return to God daily. Pause. Pray. Reconnect. As individuals, we start making it a priority to pray. We need to start making it a priority to, to pray, fast, and meditate on the things of God. As children of God, we need to fellowship together, be there for each other, and build each other up. Just as the whale instinctively rises to breathe, we must intentionally rise above the noise of the life to reconnect with the one who gives us life. Don't wait until you are gasping. Come up for air.